We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson and Fred Zinke here. It is Tuesday, still September 21st. We got 2 weeks left in the regular season. It is really, you know, this is the week where, I felt a sense of finality, Fred. Like, okay, we only have one more Fab period after this. We only have two more weeks. I can actually see the ending here now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're in a lot of weekly leagues, like your fantasy baseball season kind of ends next Monday, like then you just cross your fingers and hope. I know even like NFBC, you can switch your lineup next Friday, but that's not a huge task. Like you can't switch your pitchers. You're really looking at like one or two hitter spots. And if you're going to switch someone in or out, and a lot of that might have even been pre-planned where you picked up certain guys for matchups on the weekend or something. So yeah, I feel like we're basically, you know, 6 days or so away. Like you said, that one more Fab period, one more lineup set on Monday, and then you just go from there. And also, I think there's so many, I don't know if you find this, but a lot of teams were like, if you're going to make a run, that run probably needs to start this week.
Yeah.
You know, like you're like, hey, I'm 8 points out of the money or something like that. Like if you're still eight next Monday, like it's probably not going to happen, especially we know players play a lighter amount of games typically in the final week, whether it's resting for the postseason or their seasons are coming to an end and their teams are just, you know, moving playing time around a bit. But yeah, I think and also this week's the heavy schedule week, right? Like you and Scott talked about that a bit, but if you're going to make your move, this is the week where you could get a lot of wins, a lot of saves, whatever, a lot of counting stats. So If you don't make your move this week, this feels to me like the final week almost of the season, and then next week you probably focus in on a couple of your teams and make good bids Sunday night.
If this were the Tour de France, this would be the final mountain stage, and then next week would be the roll down the victory lap, so to speak, or it'd be Monaco and F1. But anyways, I will stop making comparisons to other sports and other countries. Because that's not appropriate. You know, last year was weird because we had the shortened season. You had a lot of movement the last week. We saw labor have quite a bit of change in the last week of the season. Whereas this year, we're not going to see that as much. I don't think we were. I've seen it happen. I've seen 10 points go in the last 2 weeks. But you need, like you said, you need to plant the seeds for that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, like it was so short that, you know, right now you were doing whatever, like your eighth, you know, Sunday Fab run of the season. You were still fresh. And yeah, you know, like the season was so short that you could still make a lot of movement in the standings in the last couple of weeks, because that was about a quarter of the season. Now, you're not. I looked at certain teams, you know, I looked at one of my teams and I thought, like, I was like, okay, where can I move up? And I looked at the standings and I was like, nowhere or hardly anywhere, you know. Oh, I could get one point in steals. I could get 1 point in wins or something like that, but there's separation in some of the categories. So it's very different from last year. And we're all a little more burnt out because we're back to a longer season.
Yeah. Just like the players aren't used to throwing as many innings per game or cumulatively, we're not used to playing 27 weeks. Yeah. You know, we're used to the 2 month season, the 60 day season. You know, the tout table was that, you know, Todd put together a hypothetical league and asked for potential rule changes. And then he sneakily said at the end, well, I put in a lot of objectionable things that I personally object to just to try to get more feedback, to get more responses. But I thought I'm trying to remember who said it. I think it was actually, it was Nando who was like, I love the 60-day season. You know, I kept him engaged the whole time. And then it was done. It didn't feel like the slog. Is there something to be said for having a shorter season, maybe, or season within season, make it a little, or do you like the beauty of a long-term season?
Well, okay. The purist in me just feels like, and I'm fine with the grind. The purist in me just feels like a season's a season and we need to be in for the whole season, like, mm-hmm. or pretty much. Now I do know back when Adam Azer used to do the fantasy baseball podcast on CBS. Now he just does the football one. He used to talk about the idea of seasons that ended on September 1st. And I thought that one wasn't bad. It's like not quite, but similar to the fantasy football seasons that don't include the last week of the year, right? Because
yeah, but that would be like not including the last 3 weeks of the year. People don't realize that's a whole six of the season.
It is. It's a pretty, but it's still like 5 months. So that's a mm-hmm. good long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it ends right, like right when, you know, kids go back to school and fantasy football starts and things like that. I thought that was okay. There's a good chance I like someone would have to chart this, but okay. How about this? Out of 10 leagues, the team that's winning on September 1st, how many of the 10 do you think they win? 8? How many of the 10? You think if you're winning your league on
seven.
September 1st,
I'll say seven.
Seven.
Because seven. I bet you there's a lot of 1 and 2 point leads. There's going to be some collapses down the stretch. Yeah. It's still a pretty significant chunk of the season.
It is. Yeah, for sure. So I mean, there are a lot of, I like Nando because he thinks outside the box on some of these things. And, you know, I've heard people talk about having a first half league. So they're going to have a first half league. It runs until the All-Star break, or it runs until July 1st. And then they could have a second half league or something like that. So it's if you had a home league or something, you have a draft, you run your league until the first half, you throw everybody's rosters out on July 1st or over the All-Star break. It's probably an easier time to do it. And you have a whole new draft and you have a whole separate league that runs during the second half. And that could be a fun way to do it and break it up into smaller parts. But I didn't mind the sprint season. Some people really seem to hate it. And I get it. Like, it's not what we were used mm-hmm. to. I found it exciting.
I mean, I was just happy to have baseball. I'll be honest. My druthers are to have the full season.
Right.
I will say this. This is going to be 2 years in a row I'm not going to win a league. And that kind of sucks. I mean, I could have a miracle in a couple leagues, but it's not likely to happen. I'm going to keep grinding, try to, and there's a couple leagues where I'm trailing by 10 points. One of those is mixed labor, where there's like six teams within 10 points. Mm-hmm. So things can change. Mm-hmm. And I try to make some moves accordingly before the trade deadline. But, you know, I'm frustrated a little bit. I'm going to be checking my process in the offseason, see what am I missing? Yeah, or is the competition just getting better? Am I getting worse? Am I getting old? I am getting old. Every day, every
We're
single one of us
old.
Is getting
We're
older.
All getting older. Yeah.
Yes. But I don't know. I got to see if like the game has changed and I haven't changed with it. I don't know, but we'll see. And I thought maybe last year, okay, it was just a sprint season. I can write it off. That's why I said that. But now it's a full season. I'm probably not going to win a league. It's kind of frustrating. So we'll see.
Now you say you aren't going to win a league. Do you feel, what do you think is like your, I would be interested too in my average placement. Like if I had a lot of thirds, do I need, like, I would feel like, okay, like I'm on the right track here, but maybe I just need to tweak something a little bit. Like as an example.
I have some thirds. I have some fifths and sixths in the beat mm-hmm. Jeff Erickson's. I mean, I'm not tanking anywhere, but I'm not winning either. I got to grind a little harder, a little sooner, perhaps. I think I know one of my problems is I do too much. You know, I mean, 17 football league, 17 baseball league, you know. Part of that also is I'm not going to not do a lot of this. So tough. I got to find a better way to deal with it. I'm not going to be less involved in my kids' lives. I'm not going to not play fantasy sports and other sports because that's, mm-hmm. you know, it's partially my job description. I'm doing a golf podcast right after this, for instance. I'm still doing the Sirius XM show. I got to find a way to better channel my energies, I guess, but we'll see. Because you know, everybody else, they have real jobs too, and they're still doing fine. They're grinding through. I see the screenshots from Phil DeSalt, who we're going to have next Thursday, by the way, here on the the RotoWire podcast. I don't know. You know, Phil, he's just crushing he's crushing everything this year. I see Vlad's screenshots of his standings page, and he's having a really good year. And Paul Spohr is having an amazing season. I'm not doing that this year. I finished second in Tout last year. I'm nowhere close this year. I haven't won Tout in over a decade. It's frustrating. I'm going through an existential crisis right now, midlife existential crisis on the podcast.
But it's good. But yeah. And the thing is will you have time in October and November to go back to your drafts and say, and your early season moves and say, where was I unlucky? Like, where are my common? I try to do that. Sometimes I don't take the time to do that. Like, I should do a better job doing that. Like, who are the players that let me down? And are there some common threads among those players? Like, was I consistently let down by players at a certain position or a certain age or a certain skill set or coming off injuries or what was it? So I think that is really key to do. Like they said, like guys like Phil is just beyond everyone right now with the degree to which he's crushing it. But even without us being Phil, like we can all, and I'm sure Phil will work to refine his process in the off season too. So yeah, trying to figure out, I always want to do that, but I don't always, and I should, is to go back and look at, for my teams that didn't win, what was the problem? Even when your teams win, there are problems. So when your teams don't win, there are even more problems.
Right.
So
and was it, and sometimes it can be luck, but then you see Phil and you see the season he's having, you're like, okay, he had some bad luck somewhere along the way and he's overcome that, And so is it just a cornucopia of bad luck? Do you have a bad process? Do you have a fatal error somewhere? I don't know. And am I capable of figuring that out? That a lot of things there. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on from self-reflection time. I'm not just a grinning huckster of puns. I promise. I want to do better than that. We're going to talk about what's going on. A couple of things that happened last night. But first, quick note from our friends at WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions. And even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Thanks for WynnBET for sponsoring us all season long. We got a lot to talk about. Shane Baz last night made his major league debut, did it against your Jays, looked really good in the process.
Yeah, he did. And I watched that game and he did look really good. I think this is just another one right down this Tampa Bay pitching pipeline. Like, you just knew you would be effective last night, like going into that. If I could have grabbed him in NFBC leagues, I would have, like, he wasn't available, right? Because he didn't debut till Monday, but I would have been all over that. He looks like someone who, and he did give up two home runs, but
both whatever. Solo shots, right?
Yeah. Solo home runs. You look at his minor league stats this year, strikeout rates, terrific. The walk rates, like, obscenely good. Like, the ERA is great. The whip's great. Like, he looks great this year in the minors, kind of split almost evenly between double A and triple A. This guy looks like someone who's ready to help fantasy teams right now. Like, if he's getting a start next week, I want him. And next year he's going to be, now it's the Rays and, like, maybe they shuttle him around a bit next year again. Like, it's the Rays. We'll see how they handle him. But he looks like someone I think who will be a decent mid round draft pick next year.
I think he's a playoff starter this year.
Yeah.
I think the Jays will start him in the playoffs. Just look at their rotation. We spent some time talking about this the other day. I mean, right now it's McClanahan, Rasmussen and Baz are the three guys I'd try to roll out. Patino, I wouldn't roll out. Yarbrough.
No.
So bad. I was listening to Paul and Justin on Friday's Sleeper in the Bus talking about streaming, how, like, you know, it's just, you can't use them. You just can't. You know, it's funny, although, you know, Yarbrough gets the Marlins this week, so that's tempting. And they were talking about the Yankee matchup, which, you know, I'll abandon all hope you enter here. But, yeah, it's just, I really have, it's really interesting to see. They've thrown fewer starting pitcher innings than anyone else in baseball. So that's one way they get around all of this.
Yep.
And the playoffs actually lend itself to managing like that. You know, you need fewer starting pitcher innings because you don't have to use your fourth and fifth starters that much.
Yep, absolutely. Like, we could see Baz start a playoff game with Yarbrough following him. You know, Baz throws four innings and then they get him out. And then Yarbrough comes in after that and throws a couple innings and you go righty lefty. And like, there's lots of ways the Rays can play it. But I agree. I think that will mean so much to his 2022 fantasy draft price. Like, if he starts a game next week and it goes well, and then he starts some postseason games, I could see him going in like round 12, something like that. It's like something where some people are drafting him as their third starter or a high end fourth starter or something like that. So I think there's a lot of potential here for someone who just burst onto the scene. Like, the minor league numbers this year are just so good. And then the Rays are so good. And I think it's time to just assume the Rays will be good next year on a consistent basis. Without knowing what they do in the offseason. Like, if they trade Brandon Lau in the offseason, I'm going to assume they're still going to be good next year. Or if they trade Austin Meadows, I will assume they're still going to be good. They're not trading Wander Franco, and that's great. And like, he'll be a centerpiece in that lineup. They'll have other pieces. They'll platoon their way around. They'll pitch like crazy. I think Baz will be on a good team next year. So so you got a good young pitcher on a good team that typically nails their pitching. So I think
he can, but doesn't nail it for fantasy purposes though. That's the problem. You know, 4 2/3 done. Okay. We don't care about your fantasy team.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know, like Tyler Glasnow was dominating when he, like, till he got hurt. And I think like they do have pitchers who have really good years for them. I mean, now I'm trying to think on the spot here. Did Charlie Morton have one good year for them? I think he did. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he had one.
He was really good in 2019.
And then last year, one great year, and then injury riddled the next year. So, I mean, he had a good year for them. And Charlie Morton was interesting because he was someone who had no length his whole career. And then the year he pitched for the Rays, he almost threw 200 innings.
Right. So, and then last year, they really managed the heck out of him. And he didn't have a good regular season, but he did have a good playoffs.
But it seemed like I had him under him. Yeah, I had him in an important league last season, and it seemed like he was never healthy at the beginning of the season. Like, it seemed like right from the beginning last year, they were managing him right from the beginning. And then I forget if there was an IL stint or like a skip start or a pushback start. Here, I can pull it up. There was 3 weeks in August with a shoulder inflammation. I remember this now more clearly. Like, he started the season, it looked like they were managing him. Mm-hmm. Then he basically missed most of August, which last year was huge. And then he came back in September and they were very slow to ramp him back up. But anyways, I think for someone like Baz, if he can throw six innings, I think if you're good, and I think they show that with Glasnow too. Like, if you're good, they'll let you throw the innings, some innings.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we have to keep reminding ourselves is how truncated last season was. He made nine starts. After nine starts this year, that would have been his May 19th start against the Mets. Actually, a good start. But after that start, he had a 4.60 ERA. Not much different from what he ended up with last year.
No, absolutely not. Right. And then he's been great since then. And then the Braves gave him the contract and everything. Yeah, you're right. The 4.60 ERA is almost identical to what he did last season. So, you could see him glimpses last year, because if I look at him last year, 4.74 ERA, 3.43 FIP. So there's some underlying numbers there to show that he had been unlucky last year and probably could have been more successful than he was. But I think you're right. The Rays, even the Dodgers manage pitchers at times really carefully, but you'd rather have a Dodger than not.
Yeah.
Because they're so
absolutely
good.
Right.
Of right. Course.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree with you on that one there. Got a question. You know, they were playing the Jays yesterday. Steve Bowman asked the Jays fan what advice he has for those of you rostering George Springer. Hasn't been good in the last 2 weeks since coming back. You know, some talk, did he rush himself back? What say you? Do you move on from him for the rest of the regular season? Just resume next year? What do you do with him?
Yeah, so he's playing hurt. Like, I think that's like that. I think that's everybody knows that or who's around the team. Like, he's not 100%, but what are you going to do? I mean, he missed the start of the year. He missed time during the year. Mm-hmm. He's got this massive contract. There's no waiting now. There's less than 2 weeks left. They're DHing him at every opportunity to try to help him to play as much as possible, but he's not healthy. He's gutting it out. He's doing what he can. I respect it. So many baseball players, like we see so many, you and I both watch hockey. We see so many hockey players play on all sorts of injuries to try to continue playing at 80% and help their team. I get that you can't always do that in baseball, because if you can't catch up with pitches or if you can't throw as hard as you normally do, like you can't be effective. But baseball players are often quick to shut it down. And Springer's doing the exact opposite. He's trying to gut it out and help his team, and we're getting crummy results in the process. And I think he's going to keep playing, and I would be fine with moving on. I'm fine with moving on from him for the rest of the season. It's so much, I know it's kind of a cop out, but it so much depends on what your alternatives are.
Yeah, it does. And it, you know, if you're in a 10 team mixed league, 12 team mixed league, that's the type of league. I have them still active in my leagues. You know, outfield's actually been kind of hard to find at times. So, especially playing every day. That's one of the things. Teams do try to platoon a little bit more to make up for that gap. And so that, you know, especially with all these injured outfielders. So I think it's been very difficult.
Yeah, this was a week where, because some teams played a lot of games, you know, the Jays have seven, but Springer probably won't start all seven. So you could have probably found someone out there who you feel like was going to start seven games plus this week and had been hitting well or something. Late in the season, I do feel like the waiver wire opens up. I was talking to Jeff Zimmerman briefly about this on Sunday, that like I feel like the waiver wire is a real struggle through the first half of the season. I guess if you're in a good league, it's a struggle through a lot of the season, but I do find in September it opens up a bit. Like, some teams quit trying, they quit making waiver wire moves, or people are making moves, but they're not researching anymore.
Right.
You're just kind of not putting the same amount of effort into it. So if you're really paying attention, like as an example, like we noticed that the Rangers face five lefties this week. In a deeper league, you could pick up Charlie Culberson. We talked about that, who always plays against lefties, doesn't play against righties. He hit a home run last night. So there's ways you can grind out at bats and playing time and counting stats late in the season, I think, easier than other times in the year, because there's less people in your league who are grinding. So I would say you could probably replace, if you work hard, you could probably replace Springer right now, depending on your league size. In a 15, maybe I just keep with them, but in 12 or under, I think I'd try to replace them. And it's, let's be honest, the question's probably from someone who's in a 12 or under.
Yeah, let's also face it too, is there's probably three people grinding right now. One of my 12 teamers, there's one pickup this week in the online championship. One player picked up. Not one person, one player picked up. It's been kind of a soul-killing league, because first place has been settled for a while now. So or at least we think it's been settled, and you know, second's pretty well. There's one and two, and there's a pretty big gap, big gap between one and two, and a big gap between two and three. So it's been frustrating. And my offense stinks in that league. So that's one of my Springer leagues. So there you go. A couple other guys let's talk about. So I picked up John Lester and lived to tell the tale in the main event. Got a win out of him. Win number 200. Use that Cardinal Devil magic for good. That's the way I look at it.
Yep, absolutely. They're rolling. He's rolling. I didn't pick up John Lester anywhere, and I probably should have thought more seriously about it. I just saw John Lester and thought, John Lester, and I just didn't. And I probably should have given a little more thought to picking him up, because, you know, life has been better for him in St. Louis, especially lately. Life's been better for Jay Happ in St. Louis, who I've been using. But I mean, people will say like, oh, Jay Happ's terrible. And yeah, he is. He actually is pretty terrible now. But since he's been on St. Louis, he has a 4.33 ERA and a 1.24 whip. He's got 4 wins and 9 starts. Well, I tell you what, if you put that in as your seventh starter, take that in, since August 1st, 4 wins and a 4.20 or 4.33 and a 1.24, you would take that. So the Cardinals are rolling. I know, much to your chagrin as a Reds fan. Yeah, they're kind of putting the Reds and everyone else away right now, but they're rolling and everything seems to be kind of working for them right now, and especially Lester. So I should have gone in a little more on Lester. Good for him.
Yeah, I should have too.
And good for him, and good for those who pick him up. And this is the time of year where you can probably, I don't know how much you paid for Lester, but I bet it was less than $5.
No, I was aggressive. I had enough fab. Oh, okay. I bid 13. I think it was 13 okay. to 2 or something like that. But I wanted to make sure I got him. He was the best two-step, I thought, out there. Right. So even though they were facing Milwaukee, I didn't like that. But Cardinals are playing good ball. They were going to let him get – you knew he was going to get the innings. And let's face it, getting innings right now is tough. Really tough to get. If you know you're going to get a guy that throws six innings, dude, I think you just got to jump all over it. Next week, we'll see as they try, you know, teams next week's going to be impossible with them. Teams trying to set their playoff rotations and all that is going to be just a real mess.
Yes. So, and that's part of what I was saying earlier, right? With going for it this week, this being the week to go for it. This was the week with the extra games. This was the week where the rotations are still mostly rolling. Next week, I think every team plays six. I think off the top of my head from checking it out, I think no one plays five or seven. So that leaves only 32 start pitchers at most. Some teams use a 6-man rotation. So maybe there's 25. And then some of those pitchers, some of those teams might use a bullpen day somewhere in there and slow some pitchers down or just not use guys on the weekend at the very end of the season. So maybe there are only 22 start pitchers and most of those are rostered and the ones available you might not want. So this was the week to go for it. So good for you on Lester. Yeah, like I said, I didn't grab him, but I probably should have in some leagues. And and hopefully the second start goes well. But I don't think you're going to find – this is crazy to say. I don't think you're going to find options as good as Lester this Sunday night coming up.
No, and you're not. And, you know, obviously you're unloading whatever you have left to fill those spots. But, you know, that's going to be the thing there that they're going to be dealing with there. News just coming down from the Red Sox. Garrett Whitlock is going on the IL. They're hoping it's not serious, but he's been really good. Matt Barnes imploded, Whitlock's been taking on a bigger role in that Red Sox bullpen.
Yes. Absolutely. That's a big injury for them. I still think they're going to come through and be one of the wild card teams, but that's a big injury for them. Whitlock is a big part of that bullpen.
Yeah, he is. I was looking at the starting pitch, projected starters grid, and it looks like next Monday is like this extremely light schedule day. You were saying that. There's only two games next Monday. That's weird. It's so wild. I guess they're just trying to get everything, you know, keep that open in case there's rainouts or something for makeups. But
I guess that's actually pretty smart. If that was their goal, right? That, you know, that's their almost like their last rainout day.
Yeah.
Is next Monday. Now, maybe they should have made it next Thursday just to push it back even further. But yeah, as I look at the same grid, there's a couple 5-game weeks. The Marlins do have 7 and the Mets do have 7. That's because they have a doubleheader on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's 7, but it's a doubleheader. So it's a little less volume for hitters. But yeah, that Monday is got to be the lightest day on the, other than the All-Star break, that's got to be the lightest day on the calendar this year.
Right. You got that Thursday game, which ended up getting rained out anyhow between the Red Sox and the Yankees after the All-Star break. And that was it. Everybody else, there's usually way more games. So I don't know. Very weird to see that. Just happened to notice that going through it. We're going to talk appreciation for certain players, one on Fred's Jays, one on my Reds, and a few others when we come back. But first, a note from our friends at Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end, which means only 1 month until postseason baseball, actually 2 weeks until postseason baseball. There's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to watch your team race towards the postseason. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, to see your favorite performer, or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. I'm Jeff. He's Fred. We're talking about things that happened last night. We're talking about the stretch run. Teoscar Hernandez. I love Teoscar Hernandez. Hmm. Even in a loss yesterday, he homers. Man, this guy, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, well, he came out of nowhere. He strikes out too much. I'm not going to pay that price for him. He's more than justified the price this year. Hitting .303, 29 homers, 107 RBI, 86 runs, and 11 stolen bases. He helped everywhere. And, you know, the average is the one that struck me, Fred. What a great season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and he's cut his strikeout rate a little bit. It's still not good, but it's not that bad, right? We've got him at 139 strikeouts. So maybe finishes the year playing, by the time we're done the year, we'll play about 140 games and have about 150 strikeouts, something like that. That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. I think we've learned by now that guys can have a lot of strikeouts and still be really valuable in fantasy. I got some Hernandez, but not as much as I should have, I think. The batting average is certainly surprising, but he fits a nice profile nowadays because he can get you that double digit steals total just to help. He's one of those guys that helps you chip away, right? So maybe so that you can draft Whit Merrifield or Trey Turner, like one early speed guy, and then not draft another speed guy and just kind of chip away after that. He lets you he's a guy who helps you chip away. He'll give you his 10. And if you've got maybe two or three of those guys in your outfield, then maybe you get 35 between three guys or something like that. And, you know, your other guys get a few, you get 40 steals in your outfield. Then you got a Trey Turner in your infield. And, you know, next thing you know, you've got what you needed, which is your, you know, 90 to 100 steals.
Yep.
So I like him for that. He's got power. He can chip away and you just cross your fingers on the batting average.
The K percentage,
such a good lineup.
Yeah. And the K percentage went down.
Yeah.
You know, it may be high, but it's lower, you know, it's like 22% this year.
That's not bad.
No,
for him.
Average, all the batted ball stats are all good. You know, average exit velocity, max exit velocity, hard hit percentage, sprint speeds, 85th percentile. You know, it's a lot of red on that Savant page. You'd love seeing it. Where does he go next year?
I'm going to say, I will point out also the Jays are adamant that he bats fourth or fifth in the lineup, which is great. They don't mess around with him. Like Vlad and Bichette are going to bat ahead of him. We'll just see when how the offseason goes. He's going to bat fourth or fifth in that lineup. If Simeon's not back, I could see him batting fourth. If Simeon is or someone like Simeon's there, I could see him batting fifth. But I think that's something that's great for him. Okay, I'll say, where does he go next year? So this year, I felt like I do a lot of 15s. He was kind of around six. I felt like he was almost consistently around six. Next year, I'm going to say he only climbs to round four. I don't think he gets any higher than that. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe
early round four. There'll be guy. Okay, how about him or Wander Franco? Who goes earlier next year?
I think it should be him.
I don't know if it will be. We'll see, but I don't know if it will be. I could see just that young hype on Franco. I could see, for example, Wander Franco going ahead of him next year. We'll see. But it's got to be a credit to Hernandez that he consistently bats cleanup in, if not the best lineup in baseball, one of the top two or three. And that's not going to change going into next season. That lineup's going to be just as good next year. Or it's going to be, actually, I'll stop. It's going to be just as good next year. They should get more Springer next year. And even if they lose Simeon, they're not replacing him with a minor leaguer. They're going to replace him with someone. Like, they're trying to win now.
Yeah, so, I'd agree.
So he's going to be in a lineup where he hits after Springer, Vlad, and Bichette, and maybe one other really good player, or maybe just after those guys. So he should drive in another 100 runs next year.
I think I would take him
ahead of Wander Franco, I think.
I would too. 85 and 80. So he was 86 in main event ADP. Range of 66 to 123. So pretty wide range.
So round six on average. Yeah.
Right above him, 85, was Salvador Perez. I think that one worked out a little bit. Where does Salvador Perez go next year?
Yeah, so that's a big question for me. And will Salvador Perez end up on any of your teams is the other question. Because obviously once you figure out where he's going to go, it's do you want him there? So the 46 homers is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as old as I thought. Like, I feel like Sal's been around for, he has been around for a really long time, but
yeah,
he's only 31. Real Muto went like late round three, early round four this year. So will Sal Perez go higher than Real Muto did? He's coming off a more impressive season.
Yeah.
But I feel like people love Real Muto.
Well, he's a running catcher, of course.
I'm going to say that Sal Perez goes in round three. In a 15-team league, goes down three.
And how far down does Real Muto drop?
Round five. I think he's still the second catcher.
Ahead of Will Smith.
Yeah, that's my prediction. Yep.
Okay.
What do you think?
He probably does and should go ahead of Will Smith still. So, as much as I love Will Smith.
Yep. I was a big Will Smith guy going into this year. Remember, I drafted him in the labor draft and some other ones. So Will Smith combined homers and steals has 28. Real Muto combined homers and steals has 27. And Real Muto obviously slides more to the steals, which are arguably more valuable. They've played a similar amount of games. Will Smith is a little bit higher in combined runs and RBIs and a little bit better in batting average. But I think we know this isn't Real Muto's best year.
No, right?
Like
it isn't.
His OPS is a good, like about 50 points down from what he's done the last couple years. So I'd say there'll be people in their drafts. He's got 15 homers. There'll be people in their drafts who feel like he hit 11 last year in the abbreviated season. He hit 25 and 21 the years before that. So I think someone will see that 15 and say, nah, that's going to be a 25 next year.
Yeah.
The running, the fact that he's running again this year is great. Like that'll keep his value up, even if you project him for 10 steals. But like there'll be people who will say for Real Muto that he gets 25 homers next year. And with Will Smith, I don't know. How does Will Smith go up from here? Like he's already got a 900 OPS this year. What does he have to do to go up? They just have to play him more?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And do you think the Dodgers will do that? That's not really their MO.
I think they might a little bit. I think, you know, the whole Kershaw Austin Barnes thing might end at some point,
right?
You know, and become less important over time. I'm looking at over at Real Muto's page, by the way, and mm-hmm. You know, first of all, he had the spring training early spring training thumb injury. Remember that? It was right after labor. We drafted, and then like the day after, they announced that he had the thumb injury. So that was fun. He signed a contract in January. Now, as Gray from Razzball points out, you know, Sal Perez also signed a contract this offseason, and he's doing just fine. He's slaughtering the contract year narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
Real Muto's dragged a little longer. He was out there for a while, and it was a point of contention. Was he going to get that big contract elsewhere or come back home? I think there's some mitigating circumstances to this season. I think it all skews in favor of Real Muto for having a better season. I think I'll take him over Smith too, but I'll be happy to be take the third catcher and take Smith in the sixth instead of the fifth. That's the way it shaped out that way.
Okay. I have more catcher questions. Would you ever consider Real Muto over Sal Perez? Or do you think Sal Perez was just so good this year that you just can't do that?
I would consider waiting for Real Muto
right
instead of taking Perez. I would never take him ahead of Sal Perez.
Do you think if Sal Perez is a third rounder next year, you'll draft him on any team?
Probably not. And that's one of my things is I don't like. I've done the third round catcher thing. Obviously, I did with Real Muto this year. Mm-hmm. Wasn't fun. And I you know, Real Muto, he hurt his thumb while catching, right? And that's kind of one of the things that's why I'm against taking the early catcher because of that. I think Real Muto, because he ran, because average was supposed to be one of the things that he was a plus for, one of the reasons why I was more inclined to go with him. Of course, he didn't provide that batting average this year. Did provide the stolen bases. Ironically enough, it's been his best stolen base year ever. He's had 12, and who knows if he gets any more in the last 2 weeks. But he just hasn't provided the other goodness that we were expecting from him.
Yeah, my case on Real Muto, if I was going to make one, would be, let's say you feel like the power can come back up and he could be 25 homers, 10 steals.
Right.
So that's 35 combined homers and steals. I know Sal Perez hit 46 homers this year, but his career high before this year was 27. So what's a fair homer? Is 35 a fair homer projection for him next year?
Could be.
With no steals.
Yeah.
Right, with one. He always gets one. I like how he has exactly one steal in all but one of the last seven seasons.
That's amazing.
So he's going to get you one. He just needs to show it once a year. I love it. He just needs
need to pay attention to me. Yeah. I got it. Now you'll have to hold me on.
One, guys. I'm not getting a zero. So I could make an argument that Real Muto and Sal Perez will get the same number of combined homers and steals next year. Sal Perez is a career 270 hitter who's just a little bit over that this year. Real Muto is a career 276 hitter. So I could certainly make an argument that they hit for, say, roughly the same batting average next year. Yeah. And then it just comes down to RBIs and runs scored. And I know Sal Perez has been unbelievable in RBIs this year, but I don't know if you can, in that Royals lineup versus the Phillies lineup, they're probably pretty comparable. Real Muto always hits high in the lineup. I don't know if you can confidently say, like, Sal Perez going into this year had never had a 60-run season. And his career high in RBIs was 80. He's gone bananas this year. If someone thinks he can do next year what he did this year, he belongs in the first round.
Yeah.
If I get a 45 homer catcher.
What if I had the gift of foresight and I could tell you he's going to hit 268 with 31 homers, 87 RBI, and 63 runs?
Give me Real Muto.
Would you take that? Would that be worth the third round?
No, then I'd wait for Real Muto for sure. Right. Because I think from Real Muto, if that was it, I think Real Muto can roughly match the runs, RBIs, and the batting average. And I think he can match everything. And he'll have a few fewer homers and a few more steals. So, So at that point, I would be. Now, also, has this season changed your thoughts at all on drafting early catchers? These guys have come through okay. Like, Real Muto wasn't great, but he's okay. He didn't kill you.
Right.
For sure. Sal Perez was an amazing pick in around six. And Will Smith was a fine pick. Those guys weren't hurting you.
Right.
Wilson Contreras hurt your batting average.
Yasmani Grandal was the fifth catcher.
He destroyed your batting average for a while.
It's recovering, though, is the funny thing. It's just he missed so many games. Travis d'Arnaud missed a huge chunk, but struggled before that. Christian Vasquez.
Yasmani Grandal has crept back up. He's probably about what you paid for now.
Yeah. Christian Vasquez imploded.
Christian Vasquez is the guy that I took in a lot of places, and something happened to him where he just stopped hitting home runs. He hit six home runs. I think he had like four of them in the first couple months, and then he just stopped hitting home runs.
I was all excited. Like, oh, he plays every day. I love this guy. He's batting higher in the lineup than most catchers.
I thought it was an easy call.
Yeah.
Like he had 801 OPS last year and 798 the year before. So you basically had an 800 OPS catcher whose pace the previous 2 years was about 20 homers, a little over that, and can steal a base. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get 8 steals from this guy and 20 homers. And then I'm going to get a decent batting average and in a good lineup. This guy is way undervalued in round 10. And then something, I don't know if we've got a hidden injury here with him but something happened and he just quit hitting home runs. He started out fine. And then he quit hitting home runs. Two homers in April. Okay, not great, whatever. And then he has not even two any month after that.
Gary Sanchez was a top 10 catcher.
But he was a later pick. Like you weren't getting him. You weren't having to spend a really high pick on him.
You were spending pick 176 in the main event. I'm just using that as my guide.
So like round 12 or so. So I guess there's nothing there this year to make me feel less comfortable with drafting one in round five, four, five, six.
I feel it's like the same every year. There's a couple that are really, really worth it. There's one that emerges and there's a lot of disappointments in there.
Yeah. That group on the whole though, that you just went through is not that disappointing. Even Vasquez, who's been disappointing, has 14 combined homers and steals. It's not good, but he did get 8 steal. He's been disappointing for sure, but he's not a total like zero or anything. He's played in a two catcher league. Like he's been worth owning. He's not good, but I took a lot of Ian Happ around the same point. I would have rather taken Vasquez.
Yeah.
Cause I cut Happ at some point. I got nothing from him.
Yeah. And then if you waited and you waited properly, you got Mike Zunino and Buster Posey. If you waited improperly, you got so many other ones. If you went early, you got Mitch Garver. You're hating life right now.
Yeah.
If you went James McCann in those middle rounds, you're hating it. I still don't have catcher figured out. I think I'm more inclined to get one of the guys I like. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
At least one.
I think I go get Grandal back again. I think that's one. I think he's poised to have better years. Contreras didn't. I mean, the batting average is bad, but he didn't like murder death kill you. I mean, he still got 20 homers out of him.
What, 20 homers, 5 steals. That's okay.
Yeah.
So, round 10 as a catcher, I think that's okay.
If you paid round 10, if you paid round 6, you're not happy though.
Yeah, for sure. So it's whether you can afford to take. So I did have teams where I took two. Like Will Smith and Christian Vasquez or something like that. Like it's whether that's putting too many eggs into the catcher basket. Because somewhere there's also got to be some profit potential in some of these guys.
And you didn't get Contreras in round 10. I'm looking at it now. Average pick was 119 in the main.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was the third catcher taken. Or he and Will Smith were right next to each other.
Basically. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, a little disappointing.
One of those worked better than the other.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Will Smith is just such a good player. Just going back to him, he was someone, like I said, I was high on him during draft season. I have him in some leagues, certainly not all of them, but he is just, everybody was so obsessed with how much the Dodgers were going to split time with him and Austin Barnes. You remember those articles were coming out and then his draft stock was plummeting and everything. And I even bought into that for a while. Well, in the end, he's going to finish with probably 400. He only needs 16 at-bats to get to 400. He's going to get to 400 at-bats. It's good. He's already got 25 homers. He helps your batting average. Not many catchers do that.
Right.
I think we were overthinking it. He's really good.
25, 72, 67 every day. And 270.
By the end of the year. Yeah. By the end of the year, we'll probably be looking at 25, 70 runs, 75 RBIs at least. And a helpful batting average and like a 900 OPS. Like, yeah, I think we were overthinking it. And I'm not going to overthink it with him next year.
Yeah. I think. And with Perez too, he's Travis Kelce. If you had him this year, he's going to be on a lot of winning rosters.
Absolutely.
Oh, because he stands out. He just totally stands out.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my thought with Will Smith was just that he was such a bet. So much of a, now go back to the old Ron Chandler, like not that Ron's old, the expression's old, but chase talent, like don't chase like playing time, chase or roles, like chase talent. And my thought on Will Smith was he's just so much better than Austin Barnes that they're going to have to play him more. And they did. I should have stuck to my guns on that. Austin Barnes is going to finish with 200 at-bats or less, which sounds just exactly like a backup catcher.
Yeah.
And he's going to have he's got a 666 OPS right now, which is exactly what you thought you'd get from him. And Will Smith is awesome. And the Dodgers are going to, they just couldn't platoon. They were talking at one point about platooning them close to evenly. Like they can't do that. They can't do that. Like they don't do that at other positions. They can't do it behind the plate.
All you had to do is look at how they used him in the playoffs. He was batting cleanup.
Yeah.
I mean, of course you're not going to platoon
him. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Before we wrap up, quick note from our friends at Yahoo. The new NFL season is finally here and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the opening of Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit to offer or to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests, including the $1 million Baller Contest. The $1 million Baller Contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Jeff Erickson. He's Fred Zinke. Fred, we talked about Teoscar. We talked about Sal Perez. Let's talk a little Joey Votto, because why not? He's Canadian and he's a Red. I mean, there's reasons for both of us to love him.
Yeah, absolutely. Two homers last night. He's now up to 33 this season. Like, what a remarkable achievement for someone who is considered washed up, I think, going into this year by most people. Like, just remarkable for him. And we always talk about how Votto has this ability to change his swing and change his style. But I was starting to not believe it, that he could still do it anymore. And he did. And it's not like this is happy fun ball year. There's plenty of home runs. There's plenty of home runs this year, but in this landscape, 33 is really, really good. And he hasn't sacrificed batting average. Like, he's no longer the Joey Votto who could hit 320. Like, that's not there anymore. Right. He's hitting 272. That's as good. I thought we would get that batting average with 15 homers.
Yeah. And the hard hit rankings are beautiful. Average exit velocity, 95th percentile. Max exit velocity, 92nd percentile. Hard hit percentage, 96. XWOBA, 97th percentile. X slug, 98th percentile. Walks are still off the chart. I mean, he's going to strike out. He can't run a lick. But my God, what a beautiful season. Just stay healthy, man.
Yeah, and I mean, he had the injury where he missed most of May. April was his worst month of full months. Like, May, he played four games. April was his worst month, and then he just got awesome. June, he was great. July was ridiculous. August, he was great. September, he's been ridiculous. So, yeah, just amazing. And now he's an interesting guy for next year. He's also really old. So, and had some really boring, not very productive seasons going into this one. So he's going to turn, or he, sorry, he recently turned 38. How high can he go next year? Like, he's coming off 33 home runs. Can he go in round 15?
There'll be someone that's there for it. I predict.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a good slew of people that'll be, nah, no, other people will be taking the early first baseman. There's copious good first baseman, but then there's, but you know, I don't know. I mean, it's 33 homers. It's hard to ignore that. And it's not like an Albert Pujols 33 homers either, you know, as he started to decline. You know, Joey Votto or Chris Bryant next year?
I guess we'll see where Chris Bryant lands, but I'll take Joey Votto. I'm not a Chris Bryant guy. I'll take Joey Votto.
Okay. Let's find a different one then for you. Ryan Mountcastle has 30 homers. It's true.
Mountcastle.
I think so too.
I just think he's just trending the other way. So I'd probably put my eggs in that basket. One thing I was going to say with Votto is, he's not Nelson Cruz in the sense that Nelson Cruz has never, what's remarkable about Nelson Cruz is he never had the downturn that Votto had for a couple of years, right? Where Votto just started posting like 2018, 19, 20, like the OPS started to be more like 800-ish, whereas Nelson Cruz, it's just always stayed high. It's down a little bit this year. It's 856, but it's just generally always stayed 850 or higher. But how much money have people made in the last few years by just not doubting Nelson Cruz as he ages? And just saying, sure, I'll sign up for another 40 homer season from Nelson Cruz. I'll sign up for another 100 RBI season. And Nelson Cruz is a special hitter, a special player. Like, Joey Votto is in that same class where he is a special player. He's a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer. So believing in him that he can keep this going for another year, that's probably not a bad gamble. I mean, you don't expect 33 homers again or 35 if that's what he ends up with. But you could expect, what do you think is a fair prediction for him? 25 next year, 26.
Yeah, 25 to 30 because he's changed to try to hit more homers. Mm-hmm. He did that mid-season. I mean, some of that started last year after his 3-day break, but he really bought in after coming. And remember, he missed time with a lot of time with injury too. He's only played 121 games this year and he hit 33 homers. So yeah, I can see it. I can see another 30 homers.
So you project 26, 27 home runs. You project no steals anymore. Maybe batting average 260, something like that. Something that's maybe doesn't help or hurt you, or maybe mildly helps you, something like that. Yeah. I probably was too hard on Chris Bryant as I bring him up in front of me. I'm a not Chris Bryant guy. I should, because Chris Bryant mixes in a few steals, I'm gonna change my pick. I would take Chris Bryant.
Okay, fair enough.
What about you?
I probably would, especially because the three positions helps too.
Right.
So that's the other thing. The other thing about Votto too is he will hurt you in runs. His foot speed is lacking. And you know, I'm just looking at like earned auction value this year. And he's got 68 runs scored. Now, granted, some of that's because of games played, But some of that's also, he can't run. That's he's going to hurt you a little bit relative to the field. But then again, first base is a position that's chock full of guys like that. But we'll see.
I can see me with some Votto. I'm often a wait on the corner infield. I find mm-hmm. I often wait on corner infield because I chase steals fairly early and pitching. I find I like that those things aren't in the corner infield. So unless I end up with like a Jose Ramirez or something like that, I find I'm often a wait at corner infield guy. So I could see me ending up with some Votto. Like just I could see me looking for corner infielders in like rounds whatever 13 through 20, and where he will probably fall.
All right, one last either or for you. Next year, Joey Votto or Ian Kennedy?
He rubs the salt into the wound. I would say no matter where Ian Kennedy signs, if the Rays sign him and name him their closer, I will still take Joey Votto.
Yeah. Same here. Well, I mean, I think, you know what?
He had a good year, though, Ian Kennedy, overall.
He did.
24 he did. Saves.
You got like 10 to 12 of them, right?
Yeah.
I think I got the first 9 or 10.
Yes.
And he's been tough lately, but
that's my, so yeah. So he's, I will say now, this is me personalizing this. He has blown 2 Ranger Suarez wins in September.
Oh,
and
no.
I have Ranger Suarez on my main event team and it's driving me nuts now. And then last night, Ranger Suarez threw 6 innings, 2 runs against Baltimore. That's got to get you a win. And the Phillies got shut out. Who gets shut out by Baltimore?
The Phillies.
Oh, that one is like when that box score came by, I was watching the Jays game and it came across the ticker on the bottom. I was like, that can't be right. Nobody gets shut out by Baltimore. And so that's 3 starts in a row, I believe, where Ranger Suarez has pitched well, really well in all of them, like 2 runs or less, like 6 innings type starts, and hasn't gotten any wins to show for it. It's driving me nuts in that main event. And Ian Kennedy's blown 2 of them. So, and it's just because it's Ian Kennedy and we made that trade, it bugs me even more.
Yeah, of course. Of course it does.
Yeah.
So that's wild. Yeah. All right. We're going to leave on that happy note for you. Yeah. Sorry to do that to you this week, but I got to get going to the golf podcast. So I want to thank WynnBET for their sponsorship in those 6 states. If you can bet, please use WynnBET, WynnBET. We got Clay and James tomorrow coming at you, and I'll be here Thursday. We're going to do some White Sox talk. We'll be looking forward to that. And then next week, Phil DeSalt's going to join us on the Thursday podcast. So lots of stuff still to discuss. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.